If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
You just found the most downloaded fitness, health, and entertainment podcast. This is Mind Pump, right? In today's episode, we answered listeners' questions, but this was after the intro portion. That was 56 minutes long today. That's where we talk about current events, our lives, family stuff, studies, a lot of cool stuff. By the way, you can check the show notes for timestamps if you want to skip around your favorite parts. Also, if you want to ask us a question that we can pick from for episodes like this one, go to Mind Pump Media. That's where you can do it. Also, this episode is brought to you by some sponsors. The first one is Organifi. They make organic supplements for health, wellness, and performance. Today, we talked about their Shilajit gummies. They taste amazing, but Shilajit has some incredible proven benefits like raising testosterone, improving cognitive performance, energy, vigor, helping with sleep. I'm not making this up. These are all backed by studies. Go check them out. Go to Organifi.com. That's Organifi.com/mindpump. Use the code MindPump, get 20% off. This episode is also brought to you by Brain.fm. These are sounds that are engineered to induce different states of mind. This is real stuff. Get yourself a 30-day trial for free so you can listen to music or sounds that will induce a state of focus or a state of meditation or sleep. It really works. Try it for free for 30 days. You'll see for yourself. Go to brain.fm/mindpump. Also, this month's sale, Maps Anywhere and Maps Hit, both 50% off. If you're interested, go to mapsfitnessproducts.com and then use the code April50 for the discount. All right, here comes the show. They often say getting fit and healthy is a sacrifice, and that's true, but there's levels to this. Let's talk about this for a second. Sacrifice means you sacrifice the present you for the future you. So the present you wants to enjoy this tasty treat, but you sacrifice that enjoyment for the future you, who you want to be more healthy and happier. But the next level is even better. When you get to the next level, the sacrifice no longer exists because you're not sacrificing the present you for the future you when you actually enjoy what you're doing. In other words, not eating the tasty treat or exercising is no longer a sacrifice because you enjoy it for the sake of doing it. In other words, both the present you and the future you benefit. That's the level you can reach when you do this the right way and you stay consistent. So look forward to that. At some point, no longer feels like a sacrifice. It's just something you enjoy doing. I like to paint that picture because I want people to know what is at the end of the tunnel if they pursue this and they're consistent and they do this the right way. And it's a journey and you stumble and you'll go backwards. But if you do this long enough and do this the right way, at some point you become those members that we would run into the gym who are 50s and 60s, who've been working out for 20, 30 years, and they just love doing it. It's not a sacrifice anymore to wake up early, go to the gym, to eat right.
Well, that's the initial thought most people have. It's like, I'm missing out.
Right.
Like, I'm not.
And you are at first.
You are at first until you realize the true benefit, and then you lean into enjoying it. The process of it, that's definitely something that you have to put reps into in order to, to feel.
Yes.
Do you think that's considered or is the same as like just practicing delayed gratification just in general? And
yeah, I think that's a good question, Adam. I think that's true for anything that has long-term benefit, right?
Right.
Like, I think you learn that practice or you develop that as a skill, because you'll find, in populations of people that tend to be successful in other areas of life, that they tend to also find success in, like, successful entrepreneurs, for example, are more likely to exercise regularly than like the average person. And I have to believe that the skills that are required
to be an entrepreneur,
or to succeed as an entrepreneur, they carry over, right? And we've talked about this I don't know how many times, where fitness, if you pursue it the right way, is like a vehicle for personal growth. It's like all these lessons you learn, they start to bleed over.
That's what I mean. Almost all avenues of success require that, right?
Yep.
I mean, it's going to require some level of sacrifice, dedication, and delaying the fact that you're going to get the payout, right? But that's, I guess, that's the back belt.
Yeah, black belt.
Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Level is when you enjoy even going through the journey of that to get to that
right result. Yes. You think part of that is too is just because you've practiced this delayed gratification in so many avenues of your life that you understand that this is the formula that applies to so many things, therefore I can start to appreciate the hard work or the sacrifice because I know that it will result in this better version of myself, a better life, a healthier life, a more productive life, a better, like all these things that will come with that. I really do think it's the same thing. And I think because I think about this a lot with Max, right? Like it's hard when he's that young, like I'm not having these deep philosophical conversations. And so how can I do little things that start to exercise that muscle?
Yeah.
To teach him, you know, the ability to like, oh, we do these things and then we can do that to help him get comfortable with delayed gratification. And so and I remember there was a study they did right on kids, like as far as one of the greatest predictors of kids being successful is their ability to
that like, one study that
yeah the mushroom one. Or the yeah. mushroom the marshmallow study
yeah
and I've heard people try and pick that apart like any study you can do, right? But I do think there's some, whether it's 100% accurate or not, I do think there's tremendous value in that, because I think it translates into fitness. I think it translates into entrepreneurship, even in climbing the corporate ladder. If that's the path you chose, you're going to have to put a lot of years of work and being in the middle and grinding and getting passed up.
The person that enjoys the journey is going to go further than the person who's just looking at the goal or looking at what the future me wants. Now, and I get that that's the beginning, right? The beginning, you say, this is what I want. Okay. I got to sacrifice all these things that I enjoy now, whether it's, being sedentary or eating foods that I'm just enjoying in the moment, or maybe it's not working hard or studying hard, or, you know, maybe it's not being present with your kids because, God, I'd really like to just disconnect and be on my phone or watch something or hang out with my friends. But over time, I think if you do this long enough, you start to appreciate the process itself. And then what happens, it's beautiful, because what happens is you're no longer sacrificing the present for the future. You are now giving, you're now gifting both the present and the future. Mm-hmm. And when you get to that place, you never stop.
Yeah.
You don't want to stop.
You start looking at other aspects like for growth
potential, yes.
Right? And I think that's the exciting part, is when you finally go through that whole process and that journey, and then you're able to like and love the journey, you start looking at other things. Oh my God, well, I'm really deficient here. I could improve a lot here, and there's a lot of room for growth. And you get excited about venturing into that journey, because you know the payout, what that's going to be. But really, it's about the work leading into that that's going to benefit you so much as a whole.
And I think a big point is finding a way or learning how to reframe the inevitable setbacks and failures along the way of the journey.
Totally.
Because right? Part of the reason why people have a hard time with the delayed gratification is because they have a plan and they start to execute that plan, and the inevitable happens, plateau, setback, mm-hmm. injury, whatever challenges. It may be, a challenge happens.
Yep.
And because they're not seeing the return that they expected, they get discouraged and they quit, versus looking at it as a time to reflect and go, okay, what am I doing wrong? What can I do better? Oh, learning from that and looking at that as an opportunity for growth, and anticipating that this is going to be part of the journey.
Yeah,
I think it's the reframing of that is so important.
You said a key word there, inevitable.
Yeah.
The expectations are wrong. Yeah. If our expectations are that we will never stumble, you are going to be let down 100%. Yep. Everybody, it's inevitable that you're going to stumble. Watch a baby learn how to walk. Imagine if the baby, after falling, is like, I'm never trying that again. You're going to fall. You're going to fall as you learn how to walk. Everybody does. This is just how it works. So when you're on this journey, you are going to run into mistakes. You're going to plateau. You're going to find periods of time where I don't want to do this. Or maybe you do stop. Or maybe you do, you know, give in to the, you know, gratification that, you know, that hedonistic desire, whatever. And that's okay. That's actually part of what happens. That doesn't mean you look to it and say, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to do this. It's like, well, I'm going to try not to,
yeah.
But inevitably I will stumble. everybody does. Let me get back up and let's keep moving. You know, and that's just part of the formula.
You know, it's funny. I had the thought about like a professional athlete. I've met some athletes before and I consider, I'm like, man, maybe we should bring them on the show. But I'm like, it's not going to be that great of a conversation because they haven't, some athletes I've met, like it just all comes naturally. Like it's a very natural thing. Like they're just skilled genetically. Like it just, and they didn't face a lot of like serious struggle along the way. So it's like, you know, for them to then articulate those pitfalls, and it's a really, that's, you know, that's a big challenge for them to convey. Cause it, you know, for me, like coaching, it was all those struggles. It was all of the process and then how to overcome a lot of the challenges and the hurdles that I faced constantly. And, you know, I don't know. I think like in terms of what makes like a good coach, especially it's like, it always seems to be the athletes that struggle a bit more, with, you know, these pitfalls and like trying to overcome these things.
Yeah. I never had a really good coach. Like when I look back at all my coaches, that was one of the things that I missed like out on is having like
a good coach could be life-changing. I know,
especially coming from a guy who really didn't have a great father figure in his
oftentimes
life.
Oftentimes that's what happens.
Like, I had maybe two like really, really
good coaches. Cause I mean, it would have been so not,
you had good leaders, good managers. Moving up in the fitness space or whatever.
Oh yeah, well, I mean, I'm talking about young years, right? I'm playing sports in my teenage years and stuff like that. By the time I get in my 20s, I met other good men that were leaders that were more so that were my peers, but also like leadership though, right? Like that I respected, that were successful, knowledgeable, that shared, and I got a lot from that. But I mean, like even going through as like a kid, because I was like the kid Justin's describing, where I wasn't the gifted athlete. Like I love sports, but it was work. It was a grind. Like I was a kid who had to get up early in the morning to do extra things, to be able to keep up. Yeah, to keep up with people and practicing in the house. And
you know what's funny? I bet you right now, I already know the answer to this. Do you think that was a gift?
100%. Yeah. But this is my point is, I wish that I had a good coach or father figure that was teaching me how to lean even more into that. Like I did it just out of sheer wanting to fit in and be good.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That was the driver.
Yeah.
But I wish I had like a father, like one of you, right? That was like telling me like what I was going through and going, hey, listen, son, this is going to be something that this is going to be your superpower because in life, this is what's going to say, like that kid who's a gifted athlete that you're frustrated.
This is a formula you can't
catch. You're going to destroy him in life because he's not built. He's not learning how to build what you're learning to build right now. And I can't, and like, I think if the right person, like a dad or like a coach or a good role model for me that was saying that, ooh, I probably would have leaned even harder into that. Now later, to your point, you know, in reflecting, I look back and I'm like, oh, that was actually a blessing that I struggled and wasn't talented and had all these like hardships. Like I totally, that's why when people ask me about the childhood stuff that I'm like, oh man, I wouldn't want it any other way, as bad or whatever it was.
Isn't that interesting? You could take this. What a great lesson, right? You can take, this is a spiritual lesson. You can take a situation that most people may classify as good or bad objectively, like winning the lottery. Most people might say, oh, that's a good thing, right? Or you know, struggling with a chronic illness as a kid, right? That most people would say, well, that's a bad thing. But both of those could be used for good or bad, right? Winning the lottery depends on how you use it and how it works within you. It could be a terrible thing. There's lots of stories of how that broke up families and caused divorces and caused a lot of heartache. And then when I mentioned about chronic illness or challenges, there are lots of stories where the person used it, took this challenge and used it for good. So it's, you know, life is very interesting and very complicated.
I think it becomes a superpower when you have the ability in those moments, when faced with that adversity, heartache or frustration or struggle, the person who knows how to get to that place of reframing and looking at it differently faster. Like that's such a skill. And if you can develop that, like what that's going to do in life for you is so unbelievable. That's why one of my favorite Chinese proverbs is that the one about the guy with the son that falls off the horse.
Doesn't go to the draft.
You know, maybe, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's such a great example of like, you know, how life ends up panning out for you is that, man, but if you have the other thing too, that's so important is like, whether you think you will or you won't, you're probably right. So if you had this attitude of like, I'm never going to get anywhere in life because this happened to me. I'm never going to, because of this disadvantage or, I'm not privileged. This person's so like, you're right. If you have that attitude that you're going to fail,
I hate that's
like
I,
you're going to, it's going to come true.
That's 100%. What makes me so upset about the privilege, the whole privilege conversation. It makes me upset because, there's a whole, I mean, we can make an unlimited.
It's not that it's not, it's not that it's not true. Well, it's that it's unhealthy. It's a terrible way to look at it.
It's terrible, and it could be true.
Create a different outcome.
It could not be true. There's an unlimited amount of potential privileges or disadvantages. And then where does mindset play a role, right? Like, you know, you could say, I grew up in this situation that was so tough. Oh, that's a disadvantage. And it's like, no, that actually propelled me to become this person later on. Well, does that mean that was a privilege? Mm-hmm. Or did you turn it into a privilege? Like, what is that?
Listen,
so what is mindset playing all that? Trying to make a list.
Doug might have grew up in a more privileged life than me, but there's a kid who grew up in a less privileged life than me. And there's a kid that, and there's an example of somebody who was less privileged that outperformed the other person. Like, there's always that example. So why would I ever want to teach that message to a kid, because then they start to confirm that belief of like, oh, they're all privileged and lucky and I'm not. Well, okay, son, there's someone else who's even less privileged than you.
Yeah.
And someone even less privileged than that. And there's also a story of someone in that position that overcame all that and became something great. Yeah. So why would you even put that in your head that matters? It doesn't matter. Yeah. In fact, if I could teach you to reframe that, you know what? It's going to be an advantage to you because you're less privileged, you're going to have to build different skill sets and traits and characteristics about you that is going to propel you in life and it's going to serve you more later. Yeah. And that's how I've learned to look at it, is that, man, I'm so lucky that I went through that because it trained me when other kids were not worrying about what's going on with their parents because their parents had a great relationship and they had all the things they want. I was having to think about those things as a 11, 12, 13-year-old. Therefore, it trained that muscle when I got into real life.
And you could have. You could have used it in a way that was terrible.
Right. Right?
You could have become a statistic. So
I wish we could just bring, somebody in from medieval times and be like, can you describe your everyday life then try and throw the privilege card.
For me, it was easy because I was so close. I was not far removed from my dad is an immigrant, very poor. His dad was, when I say poor, we think poor here. Like I'm talking about grandfather didn't have clothes.
Yeah, they all lived. Well, how many people lived in one house?
Well, I mean, literally, my grandfather didn't have clothes or food sometimes. Okay. My dad, he slept in a bed with his siblings until he moved out when he was 19. And they would sleep, one person would sleep head to foot this way, the other person would sleep this way. And they'd put two twin beds together. My grandmother put a big sheet over it so they could all squeeze together. You know, when he was a kid, she would get him shoes that were too big and eventually he would outgrow them. And then she'd cut the tip off and they'd become like sandals. Like this is how,
that's crazy.
Yeah. This is how he grew up, And so it was so close to me and I would see these pictures and hear these stories. It was really easy for me to be like, oh, okay. I could see now, what's going on. And I also see my dad show up and my mom, I see them show up every day and, work and be happy and, not complain and
this is why
work together and
part of why I think we are all so passionate about training and exercise and fitness, right? Is because it's one of the most amazing vehicles to train that in anybody, regardless of your background.
Listen, you can train that mindset. You can sharpen it.
You embracing the journey of weightlifting completely, like every bit of it, all the inevitable struggles and like that. It's the one of the best
parts. I'll tell you now, I know you guys will agree with me. The one thing that someone could say to me, which I would know they're going to fail in the gym. I would know if they came to me and they said, I have terrible genetics. My body won't respond. This is not going to work for me. Mm-hmm. Yes, it won't. It absolutely won't. I don't care what their genetics are. I don't care what their situation is. When someone came to me and blamed it all on these circumstances they had no control over, because you would get that sometimes, and I would try and change them out of that. But if the person stayed there, then there was nothing I could do.
That's why I love that quote. Whether you think you will or you won't, you're probably right. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And if you come in with this attitude that I have terrible genetics, I can't see results, I won't do this, it's like, you're right. And just because I'm a trainer, it doesn't have as magic. Like, you can't come in here and you have to learn to change that, reframe that, have a different mindset. They
already drew up their destiny. There it is. Yeah. That's totally the objective.
I speaking of which, I got to read to you guys. Did you guys see that post on our forum of it was one of our forum members talking about clients and stuff like that. This young lady, Iman is her name, did this post and posted some pictures, and we'll share them on the YouTube channel. But here's what she wrote. It's pretty amazing. She says, your macro setup and which maps program you follow doesn't matter. But then she goes on. Okay, that's an exaggeration. They do, but not nearly as much as you think. Posting this because I learned this lesson the hard way over these past years, and I'm hoping this helps someone on their journey. I see so many people in this forum freak out about their body fat percentage and the nuances of the diet, and it pains me because I was once there. For years, I struggled with terrible gut health issues, bloating, skin problems, indigestion, you name it. It made no sense to me. I got great sleep. My macros were perfectly dialed. I followed MAPS programs. Why didn't my body respond? Because I was obsessed with my physical health and neglected so much else. I prioritized getting to bed over time, spending extra time with loved ones. I prioritized workouts and perfect meals over planning trips or partaking in social events. I was obsessed with my gut health. I spent thousands of dollars on supplements, tests, and protocols. I felt like I was battling against my body, all to come to find out that my fixation on my body was making it less healthy. And then she posts pictures of herself over a 6-month period. The first picture, 147 pounds, is her obsessed. The second picture, since 6 months later, she's 6 pounds leaner and looks significantly better because she took her obsession off of everything and kind of did it in a more healthy way, obviously through our advice. Wow. Pretty cool, right?
That's really cool.
Really, really cool.
It also highlights, I'm glad you're sharing this. We probably should do a better job of sharing more of what goes on in the forum with stuff like this, because we got asked when we were, when we were in Florida, we got asked by trainers, like, how do you guys build the business and not use before and after pictures?
Oh yeah.
And how, cause that's like the tried true formula for doing that. And like everybody's been taught to do that from a marketing perspective.
Why? And it does work to sell shit.
And it does. And the reason why is because we've always said that it's counter to the message that we've tried to be presenting for, you know, eight, 9 years now, which is this getting away from this body obsession and focusing on exactly what this journey. But yet I love, and then this is what we told them, is like, we encourage them, you know, get a forum, get a group together and allow them to organically share that instead of us taking a picture of her using just the before after and saying she followed a MAPS program and did this diet and look what we did for her in 6 months. It's like, allow these people to learn from the message that we're sharing with all of them and this community, and then allow them to organically talk about their journeys through this process. And I said, I just think that's a far better approach. If you truly believe in the same mission that we believe in, as we're trying to shift the industry in a way that is healthier and better for everybody.
It's not just body obsessed and aesthetic obsessed and cosmetic obsessed.
And part of that means we might have to sack back to our, so great full circle, right? Delayed gratification, right? Instead of the instant gratification of revenue and money and sales, because we could use and leverage those things to sell more stuff. Because
we have before and afters. Yeah. We have thousands
and of people have looked, you know, dramatically different in these great like transformations, but like we're just interested in that journey, process, that the way that they're able to mentally, you know, show up like consistently.
And the most important part of that entire before and after is the message that she writes.
Yep.
Right. It's not the picture of what she did in 6 months. It's the man, this, because that's life changing.
Yep.
Losing 5 to 7 pounds up or down, or a little bit more abs or a little more buff. Like that's not life changing. What's life changing is making that connection and understand.
And then being surprised by the, whoa, I look better.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm,
oh, that happened.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love that.
I love that too. You know, Katrina asked me a question, Sal, I was going to ask you today. We're talking and she asked me this thing about leadership. She's like, you know, you and Sal talk a lot about all the staffs that you had and all the trainers and stuff and salespeople that you developed and things like that. And she goes, I don't think I've ever really heard you like tell a lot of those stories. And she's like, can you think of or tell me like a proud moment as a leader in those stories? I was like, oh, that was a really interesting question. And of course I could think of something, but it made me think like, oh, I'll ask Sal like what he recalls or thinks of, or what comes to mind when you think about all the teams and people that worked underneath you. And when you think of yourself and your development and where you're at in your career and your life, like, what do you reflect back on and go like, oh, I was really proud of that I was able to do that, or we did that, or whatever.
Yeah. I got to think about that. That's interesting. Cause you told me earlier that you might ask me this, and I had to think about this for a second. And you know what's interesting about that question, Adam, is this is just now as an older Sal, you know, older person, I can kind of reflect. It was never a desire of mine to be the boss or to be a manager. So it wasn't like I never sought it out. It happened. And then when I was there, I remember feeling, I remember the first club I ran. This is the memory that pops up. The first club I ran was Club 529, 24 Fitness in Salinas. This was like one of the clubs that was like, they'll put you in there either to fire you afterwards or let's see if you could turn this club around type of deal. Yeah. And the reason why they sent me there, understandably, was I was a kid. I was 19 years old when they gave me this club. And I remember I walked in there and I had this tremendous sense of like responsibility and purpose. Like I remember feeling like so like, okay, I want to really do a good job with these people in this club. I want to do a good job. And I remember my first all staff meet, looking back, you know, I was a kid and looking back, it makes me chuckle. It's like, who did I think I was as a kid? But I remember my very first all staff meeting, I called everybody in the back and I stood up on a desk. I really got up and I gave this meeting. I didn't have any notes or anything. And I remember feeling very inspired and motivated. And I remember getting the whole staff kind of behind me. And that first team that I worked with was exceptional. It was a small club. It was one of the smaller clubs in the company. But I remember we did a lot of great things out of there, and there were some pretty interesting, some really good performances. And then the second thing I remember was our late friend Larry Evans, a good friend of ours. He had come to me to get an interview because he went to another club. Here's the irony of this, by the way. Larry, he is easily one of the best salespeople in the entire fitness industry of the world, period, end of story. Anybody who knows him will tell you. The guy was, he was like the Michael Jordan of sales, just so gifted and talented that if you taught him the skills, it was like, you're watching, like a virtuoso, right? You know that you worked with him.
Yeah. No, I mean, he was referred to as the Michael Jordan of sales and fitness. Like he was amazing to watch.
Yeah. And so I remember when I hired him, you know, in walks in this, you know, this young dude and he's wearing basketball shorts and basketball jersey, and he actually got turned down for an interview at Capital McKee because of his appearance. He walked in kind of relaxed, you know, Larry, his attitude, whatever. Yeah. And he came in and, you know, I saw something in him. And when he came in, I kind of shook his hand and I saw something in him and I liked it. And I said, hey, come back tomorrow. But I want you to dress like you're actually serious about this interview, because I want to see what he would do. And he did. He came back and he was dressed more professionally, and we had a, you know, great interview. And the proud moment was that I saw through the cover of the book.
Yeah.
And I ended up hiring what ended up being one of the best performers ever that anybody's ever seen. So those are the two things that kind of pop into my head. How about you? What are yours?
You know, there was when she said it was a really neat exercise for me, because it's not something that somebody had asked or I'd thought about really in a long time. And of course I can think of like these emotional peaks where like we broke a record or taking over a club and turning it around and stuff like that. But it was interesting that the one that felt the heaviest on me, that I was like, oh man, I remember that feeling, and that felt even better than those, you know, record moments and things like that, because those, I can think of those and those felt like a real high for the day or like that, and then gone. Like that. But the one that like had the most, like,
oh, you still get a feeling.
Yeah. That evoked the most emotion was this silly moment that I remember going up to Mountain View for a meeting. At that time we had eight other fitness managers that were a part of our district. Right. So I'm going up, we're meeting with our DM, and we're sitting there. And the reason why I think too, this was a kind of a big moment for me, was that it was a time in my career where I was starting to get pretty discouraged that I wasn't getting promoted faster. I wasn't moving up the company. And like, and I'm having this self-reflection moment of like, you know, is it me? Like, I'm the common denominator. I'm not moving up. Is it my attitude? Was I blackballed for earlier stuff? And I'm like struggling with all that and really questioning my own self-worth probably. And I remember sitting in this meeting and there's eight other fitness managers. And here's the district manager who's leading it. And six of the eight managers were my people.
Oh, that I hired,
that I trained and promoted. And it was like this feeling of like, oh man, like I don't need like a title or this confirmation from somebody else that I'm a good leader, I'm good at what I did, because right in front of me, I'm looking at you know, almost the entire district.
You know what's so big about that is that anybody who runs a team knows this. You gave away six of your top players.
That's right.
To go compete against you.
And
in your district.
And only people that know that really understand
what are you thinking, right?
What it takes. Because but funny you say that, because one of the things that's what frustrated me about my boss at that time is he kept me in that position because of how valuable I was instead of elevating me and allowing me to go on.
Well, I'm
and
be glad he did that, because now you're here.
And be me and let me be a peer of his. Yeah. And I knew better than that. I knew better than never to be a leader like that. And as soon as I had, I mean, that was part of Justin moving on. I remember when, Justin was my top guy, right-hand man for many years. I took him from the Hillsdale Club, took him over with me to the Santa Teresa Club, crushed that club. And I was always cheerleading for him that he's the next guy in line. Would constantly be telling my boss, like, he's the next guy. He's the next guy. He deserves his opportunity. And, you know, I remember him getting overlooked. And then I remember like the last time that he got overlooked, and I felt disrespected. So I know he probably felt disrespected that like the people that got the position above him, like he was far better than I knew he was far better, more experienced, more educated.
I wonder if any of those guys that got promoted ahead of you have the top fitness podcast.
No. Justin made out in the story.
Yeah, for sure.
But I remember then having this.
I went all Achilles, dude. You know the movie Troy. I'm just gonna do my own thing.
That was such a hard conversation for me to have. You know, talk about one of the hardest moments for me too. Is that not only does my guy not?
You knew he was. You saw him leave, and you were probably.
I remember encouraging him, saying that, and talking about that, like, go tell my top
guy. You could have selfishly sold him on sticking around.
Of course, or dangle the carrot, and all those things. Yeah. But I remember going like, hey, dude, I get it. You go build your own thing. I think you'll be fine. You'll do great. And stuff like that. And so not only do I not get him promoted in the club, but then I also lose him as all that revenue and business out of my club. And so that was a tough moment to see him go and do that. But of course, I mean, this is, it all played out the way it was supposed to. And you know, like, who got the last laugh
different
now?
Exactly.
But we were just talking about turning bad things into good things. Like, it could have, someone might have been like, I'm done, I quit this, I'm never doing this again, or whatever, I'm out of this industry. Instead, you left, built your own business, which was hard.
Well, it was me. That's it. You know, how do we reframe this? How do we focus on the next move? Like, how do we take this and run and do something even better and greater? It's just always how it is. And again, like, this sort of mindset happens along the journey for people in different ways. And for me, it was a lot of sports and you know, driving through that like complicated training process of like really trying to figure out what works, what doesn't work, and like what I have to do in order to get myself and elevate myself in all these different avenues that I was pursuing. And it really is, it was frustrating as hell, but you learn so much. And then, you know, being in a situation like that, it's like, I'll just figure it out.
You know, interesting about this conversation, because some people will say, well, that's so insensitive. Some people are just suffering or they're struggling and they can't do it or whatever. There's a way to communicate this with integrity and authenticity. And then there's a way to communicate this to be an asshole. Like, you can be an asshole and be like, well, that's because you're not working hard enough. Get off your ass. You're lazy, you piece of crap, whatever. And you hear that on the internet all the time.
Disparaging people's hardships.
No. The truth is, it's fucking hard, man. Yeah, dude, I see that this sucks. There's only one way out of this, in the right way, at least. The one way out of it is to, like, you keep going. The other way is not out. You'll get deeper in what you're feeling. But I know how bad this is. It sucks. I can see that this sucks. That's the right way to communicate. You get all these, like,
you know, it's funny.
You get all these masculine, you know, like pro, like alpha, whatever communicators on Instagram or social media. And they're doing it the wrong way, man. You're a pussy. You're weak. You're get up, get off your ass. Yeah. That's insensitive, because, the person that's getting crushed, they're hearing you and be like, either they're like, you don't understand me, you don't get me, or you piss them off. Maybe you get the kid to stand up on his own and figure it out. But I argue that argument, the kid would have done it anyway, whether you argued to it with him or not, or told him that or not.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway, totally. I got to tell you guys about what my 3-year-old told my wife the other day, which is hilarious. So Jessica bought these little figurines that like depict like a family. It's like mom, dad, grandma. Mm-hmm. Baby, sister, brother, whatever. And so she's been, you know, playing with the kids with them. And it's interesting to see. I know you've seen this with Max, where they play pretend and they make little voices and they talk, and it's really cool to just kind of stay back and kind of watch and see what they say. Like, what are they saying? Like, what do they think the dad says? What do they think the mom says or whatever? So he's playing. He's talking to the dad, and he's like, what fun do you do with the family or whatever? And he goes, oh, it's the family. It's really fun. They cook dinner a lot and stuff, but sometimes mama burns the steak.
That's what they remember.
She's like, all right, I guess,
It's so interesting what they focus on. Yeah,
it's hilarious.
It is so crazy. The one thing that they picked up on of all the stuff.
When my oldest is 18 now, but when he was little, I remember we asked him like, what does papa do? And I remember this was like a little point of reflection to me. It's like, papa works. That's it. And I'm like, oh man, I guess it works. And then you ask him, what does mama do? And he goes, no. And then that was another point. No. Yeah, it's another point of reflection, you know? These kids are great. Dude.
That's so good. I bet you there's got to be like a cool, like fun. I know.
There used to be a show, right? The kids say the darndest things. You ever seen that?
It was a Cosby.
Oh, fuck.
It was a Cosby. I guess ruined it for me. That was a Cosby show. But it was good. I think they actually
still a good show.
They might have still continued it with somebody else.
Someone else.
I think they might have, but I know it was his thing for the longest.
Dude, I gotta. Well, I know you guys know the answer to this. What's the one? Here's a trivia question. I'm sure you know the answer to. What's the one supplement or partner product that we work with that consistently runs out fast? It's always gone. I go to reach in the bag right now. Gone.
Oh, the gummies.
The Shilajit. Gone. Yeah. Of all the products that we work with, the Organifi Shilajit is gone. I know when we have it, we're gonna run out.
I think I don't know where they're at right now. I don't know if you've looked on their website or not, but I know it's even sold out on their level a lot.
I think they crushed it because they taste good. I think that's a big part, let's be honest. The other part is, I don't know, are you guys reading what people are saying?
Has there been a big buzz like in other in terms of like the biohackers and everybody else like really highlighting the benefits of Shilajit?
Called it.
Yeah, because I mean, I feel like there's a public awareness about it, which
I knew it because when they came out with it, I said on the podcast, I'm so excited. There's lots of studies behind this. So Organifi, big player promoting it. We started talking about it. And it wasn't long before people started putting advertising money behind. So it's a compound that has lots of studies that actually show that it has
benefits.
Benefits.
Is there any negative to taking a lot of these supplements in gummy form versus pill form?
Well, the only negative would be that there's a little bit of calories in a gummy.
Well, aside from that,
that's it.
Because it's like what, 3 or 5? That's or something. It. It's nothing.
No, there's no other negative.
As far as digestion, absorption, because I've always wondered, I've always felt like, you know, you take like a multivitamin that's a gummy or a chewy, it's like, this can't, and then you take like a normal multivitamin, it tastes terrible, it makes your stomach upset. Yeah. It's like, this must be working more because I have
diarrhea. Yeah. No, the challenge is when you put the challenge is on the nutrient. Some nutrients just taste terrible.
Yeah.
So how do we put, you know, how would we put 50 vitamins and minerals in a gummy and make it? They typically don't. There's 4.
Because it tastes so bad.
Yeah, because some of them just taste.
That makes, because I tell you what, I know you tease me that, but I'm terrible at like all, I mean, Dr. Cabral's protocol for me and all these, whenever someone gives me like a stack of things I have to take every single day, multiple times a day. And I mean, I struggle really with like being consistent.
You need a supplement bag, bro.
Well, part of it is this, the gummy thing. If I had all of them in like gummies, I swear to God, I would. It's so easy. Yeah, we get a bag of gummies here always, and I know I take 2 of them and throw them out. They taste good going down. It's like, I don't need water to wash it down. It's not, I don't know. If I could, I would make every supplement that I need to take all in gummy form. I would, like a big ass kid, dude. Yeah. And I don't care what you say. I bet you, if they haven't done it yet, and if someone actually did a study on this, that the adherence to gummies versus pills,
right.
I bet you gummies would crush.
You know what
as far happened? As compliance.
No, you don't need a study. Yes. You can already look at the market. So you know how this started, right? It started with kids' supplements.
Flintstones
were the chewables, but then they started making gummy vitamins.
From there is what I'm saying.
Gummy vitamins for kids. And then what they saw was that were parents were buying the kids gummy vitamins and using them. And they were like, we're getting more parents using this than our tablets. So that's the, that was the beginning of these.
At my house, my Airborne, my vitamin C, my elderberry, my, what else do I have? I mean, I have all the gummy forms of it. That's why I've been meaning to ask you, like, am I losing out on anything? Like my
behavior
by doing that.
No.
And it gets,
if it's the same thing, it's
just
thing.
Easy for me to do.
Yeah. And the only thing I wouldn't do in gummy form would be like a probiotic, because you'd want to protect the bacteria on its way to the colon.
Yeah, it needs a little bit of time release.
Right? Yeah. So, like something along those. It's not really time release, but it's different science. Do they
Doug, maybe you know, if you're looking at the typically, does gummy form cost more because it's gummy form?
Probably.
Yeah, that's probably the knock.
I would imagine, right? Because you could get
You could get
the black tari Shilajit and just throw a capsule on it versus having to pay the R&D to make it tasty in a gummy.
So that's probably, because I also saw our good friend Jordan Syatt did I've been meaning to watch it because I want to hear what he said about creatine gummies, and it was like, poo-pooing on it. And I'm assuming it's because it costs more money. Yeah. I'm assuming it's because you can get creatine monohydrate super cheap.
Listen, he knows this as well as we do, because I bet if I had him in here, he would agree. Trainers understand this. At the end of the day, which one is going to get what is going to encourage the behavior more?
Yeah.
So what's going to encourage the behavior more? That's what I worry about. That's what I care about. I don't care about which one is better on paper. Yeah. Which one's my client going to do?
Adherence.
Yes. And 100%, you're right. A gummy is far more likely to have the average person, unless you're a pill fanatic like me.
Yeah. If you're not, then I would never say that. Yeah. Like if you're like, I have no problem taking these 12 pills every day or this powdered thing and mixing it up and doing it. Okay. Then okay. But I know me.
Yeah.
And that is a hassle. And I've done all the pill stack things and tried to like
the only person
on
I met
Sunday, like, set it all out. Like
only Doug is like me. Doug and I will do this. We'll take, we have it all organized. We'll take all our pills.
Are you good like him?
Yeah.
You are.
So every Sunday I have a morning packet and an evening packet that I put together in the whole bags week. For the whole week.
I tried that. Yeah, I did. I bought
supplement. It's supplement prepping, bro. So you're meal prepping?
Yeah.
Supplement
prepping. I know. I tried to do it, and it got me through a couple. Like when we did Cabral and I had that protocol, that was how I did it. I was like, there's so many of these things I got to take. I've got to like plan this out or I'm going to fail. And I think I got to like 3 weeks of being pretty consistent with it. And then I just fell off.
Or you take it to like ninja level like me, where I don't even put them in packets because I like to adjust them on the fly.
Carry the whole pharmacy with you. This guy's
now you either call it
full pharmacy
chopping it up.
I just get carpal tunnel from opening and closing these bottles.
It's either
so
ninja
times.
Level or it's dysfunction. It's one of those two things. I don't know.
Hey, you were talking about comments on the YouTube video. I was actually on there last night and going through all these comments. What prompted it was we had this meeting with JT and Sage, and they were talking about, man, it's so crazy. You guys' comments that people are like, that they don't just like say little, like one thing, they write these like incredible, stories. Yeah, they're just, I've never seen anything like it. He's like, I've never seen a YouTube channel with that much.
It is unique. It's just for YouTube.
Find me a show. I've never seen one. Show me a channel. That's like,
actually real quick, I'm going to take just a little left, connect it, and we'll go back to what you're saying, but I don't want to forget. If you ever want to read the best comments you've ever read in your entire life on YouTube, okay, like get moved, watch a worship music or like Christian music video and then read the comments. No. It's crazy.
Really?
Bro. It's crazy. It's like, I just had cancer and I got survived, or I lost my husband and this song. God, bro. I was going through the comments on some of this music, and every comment was like somebody sharing a personal story.
Very profound.
That was profound, bro. I had to pause so many times. I was sharing them with my wife. I'm like, because YouTube comments are literally, like you said, typically you don't want to go through the comments. Typically.
Yeah.
Which is, like you said, ours are pretty damn good.
So and this is a shout out to Darren, because, it's been almost, I want to say it's been almost a year since we officially hired him. And he's been continually to reformulating and improving and like the newsletter. And this was the first time on one video, I think I seen three different comments about how much they love the newsletter.
Oh yeah.
And so if you're not subscribed to
it's mindpumpmedia.com/newsletter.
Yeah. Free. It's free.
It's so, totally different form of media from us.
Yeah. Totally different. And Darren, for a little bit of background, those that might not have heard me tell the story before, we got connected 10 years ago when I first started on Instagram, and he had a fitness background, and he's a writer. He's an author, and he's brilliant. And he would write these like very sarcastic, like takes.
Super witty.
Yes. Yeah. Very sarcastic, tongue in cheek type of like post about like the fitness, and it just, they were so good. I mean, and some of them would like jab and hit home like some of my stuff or mine, and I'm like, oh, this is really good. And I started calling them, we became friends. And I told him years ago, this was like 8 years ago, that I said, man, one day I want to do something with you. And I said, it's something, and I said, the business that we're building, I hope that we can. And I thought back then we were going to write some book together that was funny and fitness related with that. But we hired him to actually write our newsletter. And so if you haven't read it, it's really entertaining. And then there's recipe in there, and there's like news, what's going on. And so it's a really cool newsletter. And again, it's, we're continuing to evolve it, improve it, and add value to it. And so that's the goal.
It's totally different media too. It's not like, like the podcast, where it's like a different form of mind pump media.
Yes. Yeah. Like, I really am. The goal is to really grow it into, my goal was to create a, you know, hustle morning brew type of version of a newsletter that is fitness related and that people love to read every day. And we're, and obviously I have to first prove the model that people are willing to read it, you know, every other week.
Speaking of comments, by the way, did you see the comments under the, when we interviewed the Brain FM, the brain.fm CEO?
Oh no.
The comments underneath?
No, I didn't actually even look at that episode.
People are like blown away by Brain FM.
Oh
like,
yeah.
Oh, they're like, oh my God, I just tried.
First time triers. Yeah.
Cause it's you get the 30-day trial, right? So, which I think, of course, give them a 30-day trial so they can see. And people underneath are like, this is a trip.
Yeah.
I put it on 5 minutes later. I felt like I was so focused, or this put me right to sleep. And I'm reading all the comments. I'm like, oh, this is really cool.
It's so funny. And all the negative ones, it's just people that were like, oh, they just refused to try it. And it's like, well, you can't really have an opinion.
Yeah.
You know, like I get it. Yeah. It sounds crazy and it sounds,
it'll
like,
blow your mind. Try it out.
But if you don't give it a shot, then like you can't really articulate.
Well, you guys remember when we all first did it. I mean, we all had our own little,
I was hella skeptical.
It's pretty powerful.
And I had never, I'd never done any of that. Like, cause it was their Calm and some other brands that are out there that have like all these like kind of white noise type of like, you know, apps or whatever. And I'm like, I've never been, you know, whatever. I've never really been in any of that stuff. And I remember getting introduced to that and trying it for the first time and being like still skeptical.
Yeah, I had
like,
to use it a whole bunch of times.
Yeah, I had to use it a bunch of times before I was like, nah, it's not because of that, is it? And then, five for five, I think it's that. And it's like, and it's one of the long before they were an actual paid sponsor of ours, it's, we all adopted it and have consistently used it now for, I don't know, when was it? Was it very beginning, right? First year or two when we were doing the podcast, we got introduced to them. And I've never not used that thing. We use it like crazy. No,
it's interesting. Like this kind of goes along with this, but like, so we didn't have like white noise growing up, you know, like it wasn't even a thing, like just to sleep.
You just put it on one of the channels that didn't work on the TV. Yeah. That would be white noise.
If like your neighbor's screaming, dogs barking, whatever, like it fucks up your whole night, you know? and so I just, my hack was to put in earplugs, and then that became like my sleep, like essential. Like I had to do that just because like I was in dorms and like it's to the point where I can't go back. Like I have to like have earplugs. It's just like sort of one of those things that's part of the ritual. And I thought the same with my kids. I'm like, oh no, they're going to be like, I have to have white noise. Cause we started them with the white noise. Then, you know, eventually Brain FM and things like that. But it's actually my oldest. He's now sleeping without, you know, anything.
Oh, good.
And I was like, oh, good. I was a little bit worried, but also because, you know, you don't want to be dependent on anything.
Yeah. Have you ever had this happen? Because you know what happens to us? We do the same thing with the kids, with the younger ones, is the power would go out.
Yes.
And then the white noise machine or whatever would turn off. And it's like, oh, great.
Yeah, now we had that. Yeah.
Now we're screwed. Although now we got a white noise machine that if power goes out, it works still because you recharge it or whatever. But I was worried about that. So he just outgrew it.
He outgrew it.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So that was positive, you know.
I use it intermittently, right? So it's not an every single night thing for me. It's like when I go to hotel rooms, if I know that like it's going to be a hard night to fall asleep and stuff like that. It's
an amazing tool for that,
too. Yeah. And that's how
speaking of sleep, man. So we finally got a good couple nights of sleep. And then last night, so Jessica started finally getting back into the groove of exercise. So kids were terrible sleep, so she had no energy. Then she got sick. Then things kind of started moving in the right direction. So she's like, okay, I'm gonna start working out again. And you know, Jessica's, she just, her body responds, like she's got bodybuilder genetics, right? So she did a couple workouts and then she was feeling like hyped. And we had a pull-up bar in the house and she went up to it and just busted out some pull-ups because she was feeling good or whatever. But she has, I'm pretty sure I know what it is, but in the past, if she's kind of been a little reckless with certain movements, later that day or the next day, she'll get this like radiating pain down her shoulder, in her arm, in her neck. It can sometimes come up to her face. So last night, that's what happened. So she was in bed and just, it must have been hurting her for a while. And so she woke me up and she's like, my neck is hurting so bad or whatever. Cause I can do some traction sometimes to take the pain away. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because there's a difference between, and this is good to communicate, there's a difference between nerve pain and muscle pain. And thankfully, I understand this difference having trained people for so long and actually having trained a couple doctors that were pain specialists who explained this to me. And I've identified that what's happening with her, and she has a slight herniated disc in her neck, is probably what happens is she impinges the nerve a little bit and then she gets this nerve pain that kind of radiates. And that's what nerve pain feels like. It's more of this radiating pain that goes up and down.
And then it moves. Yeah.
Yes.
Down the kinetic chain.
And it could feel hot. Yeah. It could feel tingly, or it could just be this constant pain and it could start to grow.
Yeah.
And I've identified this with her. So what I do with her is I get her, you know, she lays a particular way. I'll push on the muscles that are affected because they tend to tense up when this happens. Mm-hmm. That's what pain does, right? Pain makes you tighten up. So I'll work on the muscles and then I put my hands under her head as she's laying on her back and I do some light traction while she tries to drive her shoulders down because my theory is that we're creating space for that nerve, not in pain. And of course that took care of it. But it made me think like I should probably communicate this because how many people don't know the difference? Muscle pain, nerve pain.
Oh, you know, I've been going through the same process and you even helped me a little bit with that traction to help give me some relief there. And it's like it sometimes it starts as almost a stabbing kind of really intensive pain. And you're like, you know, and I know it's like at first I'm thinking muscular because of what I've trained or, you know, positions I've held throughout the day. And I'm just like, I'm just stiff and it's probably restrictive. And I go through this mobility and then you realize I'm like, this isn't really solving much. And to then kind of take it the next level. So yeah, you bring that relief from a potential impingement or something in that regard to then be able to do mobility on top of that and help to kind of reset and get your
and here's how you know, like
I was just going to say, more importantly, what are the clear flags of like if someone describes this and this, it
tends to be radiating, throbbing or heat or tingly. And then if it's nerve and you do the right position. So like Justin, you know, he had this pain in his upper mid back. And then it turned into his shoulder and down his arm. Yep. It was after the podcast. He was talking about it. And then I saw him out there and he was doing like mobility. And I'm like, bro, I think that's nerve pain. So I did this like kind of traction position with him on the bench. And how we knew was right afterwards, he felt better. Yeah. Right afterwards. Like, okay. I feel better.
Yeah. Yeah.
With this.
And if you have like an overtrained, tight muscles like that, you're not going to get you might get some a little bit of relief from it, but you're not gonna get instant like
And it's not gonna feel like this radiating pain that starts to go like sciatica pain is a very classic type of nerve pain where it hurts in your glute and then it goes all the way down your leg and you're like why the hell is my whole leg hurt you know what's going on here. I was really blessed. Now I'm thinking about it working in my studio. I had some exceptional pain specialists that I trained. And man, I tell you, I feel almost guilty taking their money to train them because I would ask them all these questions about pain. And I would learn all these different things that I could apply to my clients. It made me really valuable as a personal trainer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, also excited about Bellagio. I keep thinking about this. We're going to be in Vegas, Bellagio, live event. It's a different environment. We've never done anything in an environment like that.
I'm excited.
This is going to be great.
I'm excited.
It's at 1 p.m., right?
Yes.
Okay, good. So people are coming in after.
I love the Bellagio, too. I'm glad it's
there. Well, we're going to be there, too. Good weather around that time. And the pool scene is what I'm looking forward to. So I like.
You're going to do like a pool party?
Fuck yeah.
No, you're not. Yes. A pool party?
Well, I mean, like, I'm not going to formally like throw a party, but I'm like, I will absolutely be at the pool.
Have you ever been? So I've only been a couple pool parties.
Can you finally wear those Speedos with Ben Greenfield's
face? I got to find those. Bro.
Oh, my God. It was the funniest thing ever that never happened.
I know. You know?
I know.
I've only been to a few, I don't know, maybe two or three pool parties, like a Vegas style. And only one of them, I didn't have where you rent
a cabana.
Never would I go to a pool party without a cabana.
Yeah.
What a nightmare mess. You're just packed with everybody in the pool. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, no, it's like the young kid thing.
Yeah,
right? you do that when you're 20 and that type of deal. Otherwise, it's like that's like when you don't mind that, you're like this, you know, you're dancing the whole time.
Yeah. What am I doing here?
Shoulder to shoulder. You're having a good time. Yeah, I'm having a good time. Yeah. Yeah. It's so much fun. Yeah,
in a soup of bodily fluids.
Who's gonna make the next run? You know,
Try to get the next. I love all that stuff. So, but I just like also if I'm gonna drink, I prefer in the daytime. You know, it's hot out there. Being around that pool scene, there's always music, DJ playing and stuff like that. So those are all good vibes. So 100% will be in the daytime there.
Yeah, but our event is not a pool party.
No, it's not a pool party.
it's indoors, everybody.
But we will have a bartender though. I think that's on the list.
Did we do that?
Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure we have a bartender for the event, which will be cool. So you'll be able to. I think we did that at Ohio.
We've done that at other events.
Yeah, yeah. We did that at Ohio where you could I think that's cool. Like while we're talking, you can get drinks and stuff like that. And so, no, I'm excited. It's been a long time since we've done this. I think Vegas too, of all the places we've done, it's such a great place to meet because if you got to get on a plane, you got to fly somewhere.
At least there's a lot of stuff
just to hang out with us.
Are you going to gamble?
Most likely.
Yeah. I see. I don't like gambling, but I like watching you gamble. I did it once. It's a good time. I don't like gambling. I hate it. I lose 20 bucks. I'm like, I could have bought a sandwich. Yeah. But one time we were, I don't remember when we were, it was my birthday.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you were doing craps. Yeah. And I didn't know how complicated it was. And I was just sitting there like, oh, this is kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, watching
the blackjack. I appreciate the math in it and stuff like that.
Yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
It's been a long time, actually, very long time
since. But I will never do it. I will never do it, especially because when you're the one rolling the dice, you got everybody watching you. You know, I'm like, what if I miss the table?
I mean, it's so for all the losses or whatever, it's so worth that time. If anyone who's played craps, like,
I wonder if you're gonna have less of a hedonistic appreciation because of my trizepatide.
I mean, that would be funny.
Wouldn't that be weird? If you did it once, you're like, man.
I mean, I've already kind of worked on that one, right? That's why I haven't, people are asking me too, if I've been sports betting right now, and I haven't laid any bets. I mean, it's it's an important exercise that I try and do right, with myself, with things that are like hedonistic that I know are not healthy. They're not good behaviors for me. Is like, I always want to be able to prove that to myself that it's not that I love it. I can admit that I love it. I enjoy it. It's a good time, but I can also walk away from it and not do it for an extended period of time. Like, so I haven't sports betted in a long time. I haven't played craps in a really long time, but I still love both, you know, and I will absolutely enjoy. And that was something that might make me, all of us together having a good time. You want me to do it. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Cool. Then I'll have fun.
Cause if you get around a table and one person gets hot in an hour, it's just a fun environment to be.
I was there with you. Yeah, I saw a little bit of it. Yeah. I'm the worst gambler because I'll take 50 bucks. If I lose it, I'm done.
Yeah.
As soon as I'm ahead, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I made 20 bucks. I'm done. Stop playing.
Yeah, you purely look at it like an investment. Yeah, I made double my return. I'm out of here.
I'm out. Yeah. I don't want to play anymore. I was like, why did you keep playing? Because I made money. Why would I keep playing?
I used to get so angry, and would find the dealer that would keep beating me, and it was like, no, I'm gonna get this guy.
Competitive.
Yeah, all competitive, and that did not work.
They love you. They love a guy like that.
Yeah. I stopped doing that, trust me.
Anger betting. I'm sure that's a bad strategy for any
of that stuff. No, I'm excited. So I look forward to seeing everybody. It is live. I just sent over a message. It's
mindpumplive.com where you sign up.
Yeah, mindpumplive.com.
Yeah. Paleo Valley makes grass-fed meat sticks. These are the best gut-friendly, clean protein snacks for travel on the go. It's high protein, delicious, no sugar. They're incredible. And again, it's grass-fed. They're not dry. They taste good. Go check them out. Go to paleovalley.com/mindpump. And on that link, you'll get 15% off. All right, back to the show.
First question is from Connor CGS. Is just weightlifting 3 times a week good enough for overall health and longevity? Also, does just weightlifting affect your cardiovascular health in any way?
Absolutely. I mean,
it's more than that.
Any form of exercise done appropriately will improve your longevity and your health. Okay, so that's true for all forms. But resistance training is quite unique in its adaptations and how those adaptations are beneficial for the struggles of modern life, right? So strength training uniquely speeds up the metabolism or has a tendency to do so. So that gives you a buffer against the access to food that we have in modern societies. It encourages muscle building far more than other forms of exercise. I think that's quite obvious. And that is protective against being sedentary, which modern life is extremely sedentary. Even if you work out every day for an hour, the odds are most of the day, the rest of the day is quite sedentary. So very protective against that. Muscle is also naturally insulin sensitive. So if you want to improve insulin sensitivity, which is very important for things like brain health, preventing yourself from getting things like diabetes, like it's a very uniquely positioned form of exercise for longevity when you place it in the context of modern life. And 3 days a week of strength training is plenty for most people for all those things. 2 days a week, in fact, is plenty for most people for all of those things. Now, as far as cardiovascular health is concerned, yeah. I mean, one easy way to raise your VO2 max is to build muscle. Now, the challenge is that we look at the extreme forms of performance of different forms of exercise, and we look at them as examples. So people tend to look at bodybuilders. But it's extreme performance is always counter longevity. I don't care what you do. I don't care if it's endurance. I don't care if it's strength or whatever. When you get to those extreme levels, you start to trade longevity for performance. But for when it's done in an appropriate way, you're not pushing yourself to be a 250-pound shredded bodybuilder or whatever. It's incredible. And the studies show heart health benefits. They show visceral body fat benefits. They show reduced mortality, significant reduced mortality. In fact, some studies suggest that strength training may actually be a superior form of exercise for cardiovascular health. There's confusion around endurance and cardiovascular health. So if you're looking for like running endurance, you'll get more of that running than you will with strength training. But in terms of health and longevity, strength training.
Well, especially if you follow the way we've laid out, especially the first three core programs, MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic, each one of those has a phase three or phase four in performance that is got supersets, shorter rest periods, and in each one, like, levels that up. Like, so you get a little bit of that in MAPS Anabolic, even with just some of the supersets, and then performance really starts to ramp that up. And then aesthetic has got a lot of superset and volume that can be very taxing and beneficial from a cardiovascular. By shortening rest periods up and increasing reps, you that heart will get pumping. And that's all cardiovascular is strengthening the heart, like training the heart.
Right.
And by doing that with weights, you get a lot of those benefits. And to Sal's point,
your heart's beating, it's pounding.
Yeah.
You know, it's you're getting cardiovascular benefit. And you can even, specifically focus on that with weight training and with a protocol that's a little more endurance focused. And so it's like, you could extend those reps to 20 reps. And man, is that an experience on its own? I guess the differentiating factor is like, if I'm specifically trying to increase my endurance of running, right?
Yeah.
And this is where it's like, yes, we're going to move you over into figuring out like a running schedule where we can build that skill specifically, but then complement it with weight training.
Next question is from Polly Properpol. Where do you classify lunges? They aren't in the big five, but I'd love some insight into the value of them and their variations.
One of the most valuable exercises you can do are split stance squats. Lunges are split stance squats. And when I say that, now everybody's like, oh, it's part of the big five. A lunge is extremely valuable, both in the stabilization of the back leg and the pushing off with the front leg. It's one of, I would put it in one of the top 10 exercises you could do overall for your body. So where would we put them? I mean, it's up there with some of the best exercise.
Top 10, somewhere up there.
Yeah, in fact, some coaches, athletic coaches, would place them above squats for athletic performance because they're more closely related to running.
Well, I think there's like an easier way to, I think, look at this, but I guess it does take a little bit more understanding of, exercises. Is we talk about the big five. Within the big five are lots of
variations
of those big fives. And so any of the variations of those big fives are incredible and would be considered up there in top exercises. Yeah.
So you have like barbell squat, you have front squat, you have overhead squat, you have split stance squat, which would be a lunge, right? Those are all within there.
Yeah, exactly. So it would categorize as one, it would fall in the category of one of the top five, even though it's not considered the top five exercises, as how valuable it is. And I don't know, I guess, again, following our programs, if you followed the traditional MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, MAPS Aesthetic, we intermittently introduce all those
lunges. Movements are pretty stable on most of our programs.
They are pretty stable. And the thing is too, they all have different, I guess, enhanced values. If I was to say for only like a backloaded squat, it's the loading factor. It's the fact that I can really, you know, load the bar and I can be concentrated on the fact that I'm, you know, challenging my entire body that way. Whereas with lunges, I'm a little bit more focused on stability, control, and also building up strength around having that split stance, which you're going to find in most scenarios, just in life in general, also sports, like you're going to be in a split stance position. How can I generate force in that split stance position? That's very valuable. And that's why you do see some coaches like prioritize lunges or split squats even more, because to be able to generate force in that and have strength in that position is massively beneficial.
Yeah, you'll see, like when I'm like in growth mode, build mode, get strong mode, bilateral squats is like the foundational movement when talking about these two, right? When I'm in mobility, stability type of mindset, I love lunges because I love to do like a walking lunge, really stretch the stride out, really drive the knee over the toe, even have a little bit of a balance in between the steps. So I have a little bit of a instability there. Like, so when I'm like focused on the stability, mobility, and things like that, I'm going to make, like, there's going to be lunges for sure in the routine. And then when I'm trying to really build a lot of strength and load and build and pack on muscle. And it's, when I say that, it doesn't mean one of those doesn't do that for the other. It's just that that's the mindset, right? When the mindset is like build, grow, heavy, bulk, I'm bilateral, heavy barbell back squatting for sure. And that's the staple. But when I'm like focused on my mobility and range of motion and stability, like lunges becomes way more of a priority because I don't care that I just went through a phase movement of potential. Loading the barbell super heavy. Now this phase, I'm going to go through really stretching out the strides and the lunge and stability and things like that. And so that's kind of how I determine how much of the lunge or squat is being focused on in my routine.
Next question is from Marina Lifts. Why is the body so stubborn to respond to a calorie deficit after a long reverse diet?
It depends who I'm talking to. And Doug, I want you to pull this person up because I want to look at them before I answer this question, because there'll be a couple reasons for this. One, if we're dealing with someone who is, you know, gained and lost weight many times and they've lost a lot of weight, there's a theory that the body kind of remembers where they were at. And so it could be more resistant to getting rid of stored energy because of the stress that it's been through in the past through this process. And so it could take a little longer. The other type of person is somebody who, this is the person. So scroll down, Doug. More. Okay. So the other person is they get stubborn once you get down to a certain body fat percentage because you're lean.
Yeah.
And once you get lean, and for women, there's a range here, same like there is for men. But once you get to a certain body fat percentage, your body starts to resist it because you're already lean.
Especially as a woman.
Yeah. A female body is far more sensitive to getting too lean than the male body. Male body is sensitive to it too. Don't get me wrong. But the female body always has fertility in mind and always has, you know, we may need to bear, we may need to carry a child and we need to be healthy enough to do so. Not having enough body fat, that's like a bad position to be in if you're pregnant and you don't get enough food or something happens. So, and that's this person here. I can see this right now.
I can also tell by her body type too. So I have a client friend of mine that I'm always helping.
I mean, she's fit and lean.
She's incredibly lean. She has abs. She has incredible shoulders, arms, legs. I mean, she's built, like she's got a great physique. But I can tell by her body type, she's built very similar to my ex and the client that I was referring to, where they pack on muscle good. It's really hard for them to get super shredded and lean. And that's just, it's your body type. Your body type can build. That's your advantage. Your advantage is you've got a great genetics for building muscle. Your body doesn't want to be this tiny, petite, little, lean, skinny person.
Yeah, like and once so, you get down to like 18, 17% body fat, it starts to fight.
Yeah, it's
gonna, which it's, is lean, by the way. That's really lean. For like most women would be like, wow.
Yeah, it's just gonna fight. I mean, it's so hard to, especially as older, wiser trainers today, to help clients like this when you know like what's best for them, right? And then, but you hear them out on what they want, right? This is the struggle I have with this client that I'm kind of like referring to is like, you know, this girl's just like, she's jacked. She's strong as shit. She looks amazing, but she's like, I want to be, you know, bikini stage shredded, you know? And I'm like, why? Why? You're so strong. You're so fit. You look so great. And yet you want to just keep pushing that to push it. And then I understand the competitive side of want to do that. So there's the part of me that's like kind of helping her go that direction. But meanwhile, always kind of reaffirming like, you look great. You're unbelievably healthy right now. And what you're wanting to do is you're wanting to push beyond healthy for this, it's like for this look, for whatever reason, whether it's to get on stage or
I've worked with guys like that too, where they're like, oh man, what is it? Like every time I get down to 10% or 9% body fat, it's like my body's so stubborn. It's like, well, you're lean, bro. Like once you get down to a certain body fat percentage, your body starts to fight it. And that number is different from person to person. There's a range. But, you know, once you get down to a certain body fat percentage, your body will start to resist it. And you can push past it. And now you're going past healthy. And now you're starting to move into a territory where you start to have the, kind of these unintended consequences or these side effects. So that's what's happening with this person that asked this question. Is your body's resisting because you're down to a good body fat percentage. And maybe you shouldn't push past it.
Next question is from Lift to Live. What direction or challenges is Mind Pump going or facing as a company?
Nothing's more challenging than Sal.
I knew it. I was waiting for this.
I did it on purpose. Just because you said that.
Let's just clear the air.
You know, we're, I don't know. This is we're all at a really interesting point, and I think in our lives and in the business. In fact, we recently have this exercise that we're all doing as homework that we haven't come together and done, which is in 5 years, what's your dream situation? Everything financially, time spent on work, time spent with family, like, you know, what the company, what it looks like, the size of it, the businesses you're running. And so we've all actually tasked ourselves to do this exercise. So it's an interesting one to think about on the direction it's going. I mean, one thing's for sure. We'd love to do the podcast. We'd love to create content and help coaches and trainers. I don't know if we'll ever stop doing that. I think we're all very motivated to continue to reach more. Like we're always trying to reach more coaches and trainers. We're trying to align with companies like the NASMs and 24 Hour Fitnesses and stuff like that to try and influence even more of the trainer market. I think that's probably something that we probably would all agree on is a big, you know, what looking forward, like that's different than what we've already kind of been doing a lot is getting really more into helping coaches and trainers. And that was the purpose of launching the trainer coaching program.
By the way, we have a live free live training that's up right now for them.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. What's the link to that, Doug? Do you have that? It got sent over from Steve.
Mind Pump.
Oh, for the, yes.
The free training that we did.
Yeah. Yes. It's, oh, the free one is mindpumptrainercourse.com.
Yeah. So you get, it's a free training for trainers. No, I'm right with you, Adam. The responsibility that I think we all feel towards our audience is massive. But when you take that audience and then you carve out the subset of the audience that's trainers, the responsibility is exponentially bigger because we were trainers. We identify with the challenges and struggles that coaches and trainers go through. We know what the passion feels like. We still have it. Mm-hmm. And then we know the incredible feeling of accomplishment and how rewarding it is to really transform somebody's life in a positive way through health and fitness. So the responsibility that we all feel on our shoulders when we talk to trainers and coaches is like, it's crushing. It's like, we want to do such a good job and we really want to help these people do a good job. And really it's like, I mean, if you make the trainers in the world better, or you help direct them in a direction that helps them become more effective, like you have shifted the industry. Yeah. You have really helped people.
I think that's our focus, because we want to equip good personal trainers and coaches out there to relay a lot of what we talk about on the podcast and to, you know, have those really individualized, personalized touches with real life people. And I feel like, you know, going to these live events, and we were able to see that a little bit, you know, temporarily, and kind of see the impact, like some things we talk about and what people get from it. But it, in terms of like us as a business, I think that that's a big new area for growth. We're still looking for areas of growth. I just don't think that we're cool with it. You know, we're here and we've arrived and end of story, you know, and I just don't feel like any one of us has that as our formula.
You know what I love about this conversation? This is behind the scenes, right? We'll have conversations about the business and always, revenue, profits, it's always a part of the conversation if you're a business, right? That's what keeps things going. But it always, it starts there, and then it always turns into purpose. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, this will make money, or this will make more money, or which decision do we make? Sometimes the decisions are really hard to make. Like, do we accept this revenue here, which is guaranteed, which is a big number, or do we take a chance over here where there's nothing guaranteed, and we're going to start from scratch, and it's a big risk. But oh man, like the purpose behind that, the meaning feels different. And so I love this. I love that we tend to always
have responsibility.
We always have these discussions. Our growth. We always end up going with the one that feels right. We don't go with the option that makes more money. Always, it's always the one that feels right, and that's always worked out better.
Yeah, I think there the other variable that we have that's unique. To like just I think currently where everybody's at in their life is also the balancing act of that with your home personal goals too, right?
Oh, so
it's totally. It's like you have the obvious business stuff like you're alluding to, which is, you know, revenue, purpose, the why behind the business. And then you also have the understanding that all of that takes time, effort, money, responsibility, and it comes with that as challenge, stress, hurdles, setbacks, possible loss, and then balancing that with like you know, fatherhood, being a husband, being around family, your home life. And so and we're all at a place I think in our life where, you know, that it's we won't sacrifice that. And so, you know, strategically staying aligned with our why and our purpose and doing what we love while simultaneously not sacrificing the thing that we know is far more important to all of us. Because we have, even though to Justin's point that we're not the type of people to be like, oh, we've arrived, we're good. From a financial standpoint, everyone did. Everyone's in a place. Most everybody was in a pretty good place before Mind Pump, but everybody is okay now as far as, you know, their family's going to be okay forever and everything like that. And we did a good job early on of setting the business up that way. And so then you question your, we also have to add in that equation, you know, what takes from this in order to do that. And so it, you know, it's a fun challenge. It's a fun challenge and a fun thing to question and try and
it's a constant discussion.
You know?
I think
that it's a good one.
It's good to, it's good to, have these discussions because, you know, you want to be driven, you want to have purpose and, you want to find the opportunities, you know, throughout this whole journey. And so that's, I mean, I'm always just kind of looking for that. Like, I don't want to get complacent and feel like, you know, especially too, like having the platform we have and being able to reach people in a way. It's to me, I see a lot of opportunity with, you know, the preventative side of just not just fitness, but health in general, right? And so seeing how things are moving a little bit more in that direction is kind of exciting.
Yeah. Well, last night we had a dinner with other founders, and one of the things that came up, and I don't even know if this is true, but I speculated that we have reached a point where, and one of the advantages of getting to where the business is at currently is having three other badass founders and leaders together in one thing, right? So that was a huge advantage for us to be able to have other great entrepreneurs like that we could divide and conquer and scale all these things all at once. But there is this feeling of we're close to being maxed out as individuals. And if we're going to take this thing to a whole nother level or add another complexity to it, a layer of complexity, needing not just employees or other people that work for us, but finding other potential leaders who actually can create, can troubleshoot, can overcome that right. have the same desires mm-hmm. aligned with ours if we're going to do that. And so that's a bit of a challenge we're facing right now. Yeah. Too,
I mean, and then the other challenge, mm-hmm. Doug still hasn't gotten his diamond shoes that he's always wanted. So we'll get you those diamond shoes, Doug.
Okay, Sal.
Your little diamond
counting
shoes
on it.
So you can run around. Look, if you love Mind
Weird
Pump
request,
we have a free peptide guide at mindpumpfree.com. It's a brand new guide, totally free. Teaches you about peptides, the most popular ones, how they work, who they're for, who they're not for, their names and all that stuff. It's pretty cool stuff. Again, it's mindpumpfree.com. You can also find all of us on Instagram. Justin is at Mind Pump Justin. I'm at Mind Pump Media, and Adam is at Mind Pump Adam.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.